Welcome back. It's Todd Zwillick with you today, filling in for John Hockenberry. Devastating wildfires ripped across the grasslands in Kansas and Texas and Oklahoma earlier this month, and ranchers were among those hardest hit. Some families lost 80% of their livestock herds. Seven people died, a lot of them trying to save their cattle. Garth Gardner is one of those ranchers. He runs Gardner Angus Ranch in Ashland, Kansas, with his two brothers and their families. On the morning the fire started in Kansas, he had parted ways with one of his brothers earlier that morning, thinking the blaze was far away from their family's land.
And then the wind switched, and that kind of headed it in our general vicinity. Was back on the phone with my brother, who was at his house trying to get some things out of his house, was basically telling him, you've got to get out of your house because I'm watching the flames from a mile away from you, and they will literally be there in less than a minute. And I was talking to him on the phone. He couldn't see, got in the smoke, and then the flames kind of got around him. And I was just like, you know, am I really going to listen to my brother die on the phone?
Garth's brother and his family made it out of their house just before it burned to the ground, but two-thirds of his county burned, more than 470,000 acres. Garth says they did everything they could to save their livestock.
People in agriculture, they're stewards of the land, they're animal lovers, and they want to take care of their livestock. With as strong as the wind was blowing and as much fuel as there was with the grasses that we had grown for the last couple of wet spring and summers and a combination of having a very dry winter, we just didn't have the time because Mother Nature was coming at a high rate of speed, and we had to basically save our own lives first. And you know, that's really what's heartbreaking, is that we couldn't do more to save our livestock. And we tried to save as many as we did, and we saved a large number of them, but we also lost a large number of them, too.
And so now, have you reckoned with the financial and economic impact on your operation? I don't know exactly how many head you lost. I guess 500. That's got to be a lot.
It's hard to get your arms around it, Todd, because it is, you know, not only did you lose, you know, that amount of livestock, you lost hundreds of miles of fencing, which we estimate that it costs $10,000 a mile to replace a barbed wire fence with metal and wood posts. Just in our case alone, we're looking at several hundred miles of fence, if not more. You know, the cattle can be replaced and the fence can be replaced and homes and structures can be rebuilt. But, you know, there's just an emotional side of this thing that I never thought that I'd witness in my lifetime. And I just got in my office this morning for the first time. You know, I had a box laying on my desk that came from nobody that I know. And there was a book called Santa's Secret, A Story of Hope. And sorry, $500 in cash and a letter. You know, it just really, really restores a lot of faith in mankind.
Yeah, and that outreach and support from not only your neighbors, but neighbors who you've never seen before has to be really heartening, and I can tell that it is. And it makes me want to ask you about the support and outreach you've gotten in another way, which is from the government that we all share. Kansas did get a disaster declaration, and that frees up some emergency money. What about the recovery efforts that can help out people like you, either coming from the federal government and Washington or from some of your other government officials? Have you been satisfied so far?
Well, we're still kind of in the early stages, and we're still kind of learning some of the programs that we're eligible for. Our governor made an appearance here several days after the fire. Both U.S. senators have been here. You know, this is the area of the country that elected our president, and I voted for President Trump, and I was ready for change. And like a lot of our country, you know, we were kind of fed up with things, how things were in Washington, you know. But to this point, Todd, we haven't heard anything from the White House. I know Mr. Trump likes to tweet. I don't think he understands how far, hey, Clark County, Kansas, we're thinking of you, would go. You know, hashtag Ashland Strong. I mean, we can tweet about Snoop Dogg, and we can go find Tom Brady's jersey in a foreign country using our FBI, but we can't seem to help people that lost over 1 million acres of grass that feed our world. I'm not, you know, we're not asking for handouts. We're not trying to say, you know, woe is us, but gosh darn, a little bit of help would sure be appreciated. And like I said, we haven't received or heard anything from any of the White House that this has even happened. And if this was in L.A., This would have been on the 6 o'clock and the 10 o'clock news.
And that, Garth, really makes me wonder. I mean, hearing the way you're talking about sort of the lack of recognition that you've heard from Washington, it feels like Washington may be going in the opposite direction right now. I mean, it's early days for all of the negotiations that go on in Washington about budgets, but President Trump has asked for a 21% cut to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Now, that's a big agency with lots of programs. Do you have a sense of what budget cutting like that would do for you in your situation now?
I know our country is deep in debt. You know, I have enough common sense that if you're in debt, you've got to lower your spending. And I'm not a politician. I don't know where you find that money, but I know we pay a hell of a lot of taxes. And it would be nice if we could get some of that tax dollars back to help us rebuild some of this. And I understand that there has to be cuts because we need to lower our debt. But I also understand that you don't get a wildfire that comes and burns 1 million acres every day, and that, you know, maybe the people in Washington can kind of put their brains together and figure out a way to come up with some money to find help for this area and our community and our neighbors.
Well, I know you're busy and I know you got work to do, so I'm going to let you go. But what do the next couple of days look like for you?
Well, we just get back to work. You know, you go down the road and you wave at your neighbor and you say, "How you getting along, man? You doing all right?" And, you know, you stop at the quick shop and you grab a Coke and you give your neighbor a hug and say, "You know, we're going to be all right. We're going to be all right." And then you sit down and you hit your knees and you pray that you are going to be all right. My dad was a strong man, and we lost him 2 years ago. And I know if he was here, he'd say, "We're going to be all right." But, man, I wish I could hear him say it.
Yeah. I think you're going to be all right, too. And I really want to thank you for taking the time in this really difficult moment for you and for your family to talk to us and to talk to the country, because it means a lot. And I wish you all the best in the work that you have ahead of you. And I'm glad that you have a strong community standing by you, Garth. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Todd.
That was Garth Gardner in Ashland, Kansas, where he runs Gardner Angus Ranch with his two brothers and their families.